9. Predicaments.
Each type of magic exerts a different level of strain on Quintashalls. Annihilation and disintegration blasts are among the most taxing, followed by acid, and then fire.
From Kolvinar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 18. Not a moment later, the foremost was snapped off the Gibran by the dark blue Noctilius and tossed into the water with a resounding crash. The monster squawked as it turned upon the men and women assailing it, swatting them with its tentacles. Arcane and elemental bolts struck the Noctilius, but the magic seemed more an irritation than anything else.
"It's going to destroy the ship," Silas muttered. "There has to be a swifter way to deal with those monsters than sucking them through your portals."
She looked to Amandal apologetically.
"You're not offending me," Amandal thought, giving the Arpranist a sidelong glance.
"Silas is right," Valinia said. "We need to kill the other two."
She turned to Amandal.
"Your little stunt took too long."
"I didn't think it would resist like it did," Amandal said, turning back to the carnage.
"Now we know that."
Valinia began giving orders, but Amandal ran possible solutions through his mind. Magic was almost useless against the creatures. Summoning a Gangolin wasn't feasible. But if he conjured something of similar size, he might just be able to rip the sea monsters from the ship. There was one solution, but it required summoning something he had never conjured, an earthen gargantuan from the Aldenal Plain. Then there was the matter of something so massive hitting the water. He squinted at the Gibran. He could kill half the expedition with those frigid waves, but he had to do something. If he did nothing, they would lose the ship. But then they might lose the ship anyway.
"And Morjadian, start reinforcing the hull," Valinia commanded, her voice stern. "The other monster was puncturing holes in the port side, so let's try to prevent any further damage."
Jacob and Ilden were already mustering their magic. Morjadian immediately obeyed Valinia, uttering an incantation.
"Silas, come with me,"
Valinia said, then turned to Amandal.
"Well, are you going to summon something or not?"
Amandal gave her a flirtatious grin.
"Of course.
But you're all going to have to cover your ears." Ilden glanced to Amandal, a smile forming upon his face. He undoubtedly knew what Amandal was planning.
"Cover our ears?" Silas asked. "Why?"
Valinia narrowed her eyes at Amandal.
"I'm not doing that."
Amandal studied the women. There was no time for explanation.
"Fine, I'll stand out on the ramp," he said, gesturing to the Barjan bridge leading to the cavern's icy banks. "Not before we cross it," Valinia said, swiftly dashing from the frozen ledge.
She mustered violet disintegrating magic as she ran. Silas was right behind her.
"Ladies first, I suppose," Amandal sighed, then darted down the ramp while reciting the incantation in his mind. "I think that's it," he thought, halting halfway across the Barjan bridge. "I hope this works."
He turned, facing the battle. From this vantage, Amandal could see the teal-colored Noctilius on the crystallized dock. 5 of its 30-some tentacles were inside the hull, while the rest of its teal limbs swatted at the expedition members assailing it. There were more holes in the ship's hull, and it looked as if the Gibran was taking on water. Morjadian's Barjan hadn't yet surrounded the hull.
"Great," Amandal said with a sigh. "Just great."
He scanned the dock, noticing that most of it between the ship and the icy banks was empty.
"Good. Hopefully the waves from my conjuration won't spill too far. And hopefully that crystal won't crack."
Golden light surrounded Amandal as he uttered the incantation from greater conjurations from the Aldenal Plain. Even his vision had a tinge of gold to it. He focused on a spot near the starboard bow. The golden light coalesced just above the water. He wanted to ensure that his conjuration wouldn't sink immediately. Since they were on an ice shelf, the ocean floor was probably a grand finial beneath the water.
The portal to the Aldenal Plain spread wide, nearly reaching the cavern's icy ceiling. Part of it reached into the frigid water. All in all, the portal was over 6 stories tall. Soon, the earthen hand of the elemental gargantuan emerged from the portal, followed by a foot. The other limbs appeared, and the entire conjuration leapt from the portal. The creature, an amalgamation of rock, dirt, and foliage, resembled an enormous man with a grossly thick body. Besides its vaguely humanoid appearance, it had no other features. While the conjuration crashed into the water, Amandal reached out for the crystallized dock.
"I hope it holds."
The enormous earthen conjuration sent waves in all directions. He expected the water to be frigid, but he felt neither shock nor chill when the conjuration hit the water. Waves washed across the dock but stopped near those fighting the teal Noctilius. Several waves rose over the bow, crashing upon the forecastle. Amandal could see several men struck by the water. They jolted, collapsing to the deck. Amandal cursed under his breath but focused on holding his conjuration above the water. To his surprise, the crystal was holding under the pressure of the conjuration's extreme weight.
"Impressive," he thought. "If that's the work of the chrysalac, then I definitely want one. Imagine what it could be used for."
Pushing aside his excitement, Amandal focused on maneuvering his conjuration. The creature gripped the dock, pulling itself above the water.
"Now to get closer," he muttered, gliding the earthen gargantuan toward the battle.
On the port side, magic, as well as dozens of mercenaries and soldiers, assailed the teal Noctilius. Ildin's illusions were also flying through the air, attempting to distract the Noctilius.
"I think they can deal with that one."
The earthen gargantuan reached the Gibran as the ship's hull was bathed in a bright blue hue from Morgidion. But the bowsprit was not yet protected and barred the way to the dark blue Noctilius. Still clutching the dock, Amandal's conjuration ducked beneath the bowsprit. Though its arm was extended, the conjuration had no problem keeping itself afloat. Once the gargantuan was in position, Amandal rested the bowsprit against its extended arm.
"Impressive!"
Amandal reared the conjuration's free arm back, then arced the colossal fist around the Gibran and straight for the Noctilius's shell. The blow sent the ship reeling, immediately drawing the attention of the sea monster.
"What incredible strength!" Amandal cried,
readying the colossal fist for another blow. The dark blue Noctilius glared at the earthen gargantuan with its nearest eye, lashing several of its tentacles at the conjuration's fist. The tentacles wrapped around the colossal wrist just as Amandal unleashed another punch. That blow was not as powerful as the first, but it forced the Noctilius to focus on the conjuration. The sea monster climbed across the broken rigging and threw more of its dark blue limbs at the earthen gargantuan.
"That's it," Amandal shouted. "Hit me."
Only half of the Noctilius's limbs were attempting to restrain the earthen conjuration. The other half were either severed or swatting the soldiers and mercenaries still assailing it. The gargantuan punched again, but the blow was a mere tap against the Noctilius's shell.
"Maybe the eye," Amandal thought, swiping an earthen finger across the shell.
The rough boulders comprising the conjuration's fingertips scraped that filmy iris, drawing an enraged squawk from the Noctilius. The sea monster threw more of its limbs, wrapping the tentacles around the conjuration's mammoth arm. Only 2 of the Noctilius's tentacles were attached to the ship, one around the rear mast and another around the bowsprit.
"Good enough,"
Amandal grinned, glancing to the teal Noctilius. The second sea monster had a firm grip on the ship and the crystallized dock.
"That one should stop the ship from capsizing," Amandal thought,
then relinquished his conjuration's grip on the dock. Several resounding cracks echoed from the Gibran as the earthen gargantuan plunged into the water. Bowsprit and rear mast snapped from the combined force of the Noctilius's grip and the conjuration's weight. The Noctilius attempted to flee, releasing its grip on the conjuration's arm, but Amandal swiftly grabbed the tentacles, and the earthen conjuration dragged the sea monster into the ocean. Waves crashed against the Jibaran, and the ship almost tipped onto its starboard side. Those on the main deck slid toward the rail. Some landed against it, while several fell overboard but were caught by Morjadayan's barjan. Luckily, the grip of the last Noctilius kept the Jibaran from capsizing into the frigid bay. Amandal averted his focus from the ship and closed his eyes. He concentrated wholly on the earthen Gargantuan. The Noctilius struggled to break free, but the Gargantuan held on tight to the tentacles, dragging the sea monster into the depths of the ocean. Felinia unleashed another disintegrating blast, dissolving another part of the teal sea monster's shell. The blast evoked another enraged squawk. Amandal had since ripped the other creature from the Jibaran, seriously damaging the vessel in the attempt. That clumsy oaf, she thought, gritting her teeth. With all her might, she focused on burrowing a hole through that tough shell. As her spell faded, she pierced flesh. There! She cried triumphantly. With the shell breached, the other mages assailed the opening with their own magics. The sea monster squawked, swiftly climbing the aft port side of the Jibaran. Was the thing actually retreating? Felinia uttered another incantation as the sea monster scurried atop the highest deck, its teal tentacles flailing. The hull, however, gave way, and the monster fell inside the aft section. Bolts of acid, arcane, and disintegrating magic arced above the ship and struck the enormous creature. Squawking in frustration, the colossal monster scurried through the damaged ship and dove into the water, sending waves that crashed against the Jibaran. The vessel rocked back and forth, and Felinia could tell it was taking on water. Though the damage was caused by the sea monster, Amandal's antics had done no favors to the Jibaran. They were going to lose the ship. Ceasing her incantation, Felinia dismissed her forming magic. She took in a deep breath and studied her surroundings. Several men and women emerged from the nearby tunnels, including Vayim. Had she been hiding? Vayim had not struck her as a coward. The scholar followed the others as they picked their way across the icy banks and back onto the crystal dock. Perhaps they were ferrying supplies. Felinia glanced back to the dock where the provisions had been unloaded, but the crystal slab was empty. Hopefully, Amandal had not knocked them off during his spectacular display of recklessness. Vayim strode across the crystallized dock, marching toward the wreckage of the Jibaran. The rigging was demolished and the portside hull was pockmarked with gaping holes from the teal Noctilius's assault. Only one of the masts was intact, but many of its yardarms were broken. The ship would never sail again, if it even stayed afloat. How unfortunate, Vayim muttered, striding directly for Calamir. The rugged veteran of war was angrily barking orders.
And secure the ship with ensnaring magic, Calamir shouted. Make sure the hull is reinforced with more barjan. I don't want this ship sinking before we can unload all our supplies.
The commander shook his head and ran a gloved hand through his hair. He turned, noticing Vayim approaching with the others.
Oh, good. You survived.
Of course, Vayim replied, studying the mercenaries and soldiers who had fought on the dock.
I'm ensuring that all our supplies are unloaded before the Jibaran sinks, Calamir said. Hopefully the mages can keep it afloat that long.
Wonderful, Vayim feigned a smile. We found some tunnels just beyond the shore. I suggest we start moving our supplies and provisions in there. There's no telling if the Noctili will return.
Noctili?
Calamir asked.
Yes, Vayim said, tilting her chin slightly. The plural for Noctilius. Those enormous cephalopods that terrorize the ocean.
I know what they are, Calamir spat. Don't be condescending, Mistress Rudal.
Vayim pursed her lips, watching as both crewmen and expedition members brought supplies to the broken main deck.
Go help them,
she said to those who had followed her. They complied, hurrying aboard. A moment later, Captain Edara, the owner and commander of the Jibaran, stomped down the gangway. Yadara was a lanky, dark-haired man with a gaunt face. His mustache and goatee extended almost to his chest.
"Disgusting man."
"You!"
Yadara pointed to Vayim, stomping toward her and Kalamir.
"Why didn't you say there were monsters lurking about?"
"I didn't know," Vayim said tersely. "Don't you dare give me any attitude."
"Calm down, Captain,"
Kalamir said, waving his hand to placate Yadara.
"You're not the only one who has suffered losses because of those monsters."
Yadara started, then spun on Kalamir.
"Losses," he snarled. "We're stranded here, you fool. Look at my ship."
He gestured to the wreckage.
"Do not call me a fool, Captain," Kalamir spat, "and do not blame this predicament on any of us. We had no way of knowing we would be attacked."
"Really?"
Yadara stepped closer to Kalamir.
"And what about the man who spotted the shadow in the water? Did none of your men take him seriously? Your mages could have protected my ship."
"I don't know who you're talking about," Kalamir said.
The argument intensified, and Yadara slung vulgar accusations at Kalamir. Exasperated, Vayim turned from the quarrel. Her eyes fell upon Amandal Aramian standing atop a bridge composed of Barjan magic. He was focused intently on something.
"You are quite impressive," she thought.
Vayim had watched him pull the smaller Noctilius into the conjurer's void, an extraordinary feat considering Noctili had strong wills. The expedition would have fared far worse without Amandal Aramian.
"With you at my side, I will not fail," she mused. "We will breach Tardalim and fulfill my Emperor's mandate."
The depth where the earth and gargantuan dragged the Noctilius was greater than Amandal had imagined. They had plummeted at least a grand finial, maybe two. Darkness engulfed the watery depths, and Amandal struggled to discern anything through his conjuration besides tactile sensations. The Noctilius struggled against the gargantuan, but the strength of the earthen creature was far too great for the mythical sea monster. As they descended, Amandal managed to climb his conjuration atop the Noctilius. The earthen gargantuan wrapped its arms around the sea monster's shell. A sudden jolt shot through the conjuration, and Amandal sensed they were on the ocean floor. The Noctilius struggled to pull itself away, but the earthen behemoth pinned it in place. "There," he said, opening his eyes. He could sense the conjuration far below him. It was a staggering distance. Amandal ignored the commotion around him and uttered another incantation. "Why have one Noctilius when you could have two?" Of course, it was maimed a bit, but not as badly as the other one. At least this one had its shell intact. Amandal grinned as the magic for the portal to the Bezirm expanse formed around him. He focused on that spot far below him, then hurled the magic into the frigid water. Golden light illuminated the ocean floor as the magic wisped around his earthen gargantuan. The conjuration magic gathered beneath the pinned sea monster, but did not form a portal. Forming a portal now would be fatal to the Noctilius. Portals to the Bezirm expanse automatically pulled whatever touched them into that timeless void. If a portal was smaller than the object or creature the conjurer intended to trap, the portal would compress it. A living creature would certainly be maimed if it survived at all. Most living things did not survive, and a dead creature in the Bezirm expanse was totally useless. The technique for delaying the formation of a portal to the Bezirm expanse wasn't a simple thing. Most conjurers couldn't manage it, let alone maintain a conjuration while attempting it. Luckily, Amandal was gifted. Amandal sent more of his magic to the ocean floor, struggling to hold back the portal's formation. Someone called his name, but Amandal ignored it.
His focus was consumed by holding back the formation of the portal and controlling the earthen conjuration. A hand grabbed his arm, but Amandal shook it off. This was not the time to be interrupted. He could not lose such a valuable creature. He did his best to ignore his would-be detractor, sending more magic to the ocean floor.
Amandal!
He fought the urge to recognize the voice, spreading his magic across the ocean floor. With the portal unformed, it was hard to tell exactly how big it needed to be. He would have to err on the side of too large in order to safely trap this Noctilius.
Amandal!
The magic spread beyond the earthen conjuration, but not the flailing limbs of the sea monster. The magic, however, definitely spread beyond the creature's head.
I hope this works, Amandal thought, and then released his restraint.
A golden wave rippled across the ocean floor as the portal coalesced. Once it opened, the magic pulled the Noctilius into the Vizirm expanse. The monster's dark blue limbs flailed, but soon vanished.
Yes!
Amandal cheered, opening his eyes. But something unexpected happened. The portal also consumed the gargantuan, compressing the rocks and dirt of its body. The conjuration, now mangled a bit, floated in the void that was the Vizirm expanse. It was mostly intact, but it didn't quite resemble its original hulking form.
Amandal!
The shout finally drew him from his trance, and he turned to see Ildin beside him.
I'm sorry, Ildin said, but Morjadain is going to dismiss this ramp. He said it's too taxing and he needs to dismiss it in order to maintain the barjan around the hull.
Amandal looked to the ruined ship, where men and women ferried supplies to the main deck. Others then dropped the supplies to the dock, where a third group carried them into the icy cavern. Jakim was on the dock, waving both hands above his head. Was he trying to get their attention?
It does look bad, Amandal muttered.
Ildin sighed. I think we're stranded. Hopefully, when we haven't returned as planned, the Order's Council will send a ship to inquire of us.
It won't come to that, Amandal gave his friend a wry smile.
Do you really think I'd leave home without a way back? Ildin's eyes widened.
Come on,
Amandal said, grabbing Ildin's arm. It sounds like Jakim is trying to get our attention. Unloading the Jaiberan took several hours. Amandal had helped move supplies by conjuring several normal-sized earthen creatures from the Aldenol plain. Some of the supplies were waterlogged. Luckily, most of the supplies weren't ruined as they were frozen by the frigid water. The Jaiberan had sustained excessive damage from the battle. The rigging was completely destroyed and the hull was marred with far too many holes. If the rigging had been the only damage, the ship could have been salvaged. Captain Idara had attempted to repair his vessel, ordering the cannibalization of the upper aft section, but the wood comprising the upper hull could not be fashioned appropriately without mooring the ship in a dry dock. But that did not stop him from attempting the makeshift repairs. Once the ship was unloaded, Amandal left the crystallized dock and headed into the tunnels. The expedition's scouts had found another massive cavern, but this one contained the bases of crystallized buildings, each a semi-translucent pale blue. The cavern's floor was level despite being covered in snow and ice. At one time, it was probably a city square of sorts, as the entrances of several buildings were accessible. Each of the crystal structures extended into the cavern's icy ceiling. The cavern was undoubtedly part of the ice shelf surrounding Chrysian Bay. Amandal supposed those buildings didn't reach too far into the ice shelf unless they were comparable to the statues they had passed before mooring. Members of the expedition were spread out within the cavern, their tents erected in little clusters. Probably organized by squad, Amandal thought, navigating the tents. He wandered the makeshift camp, searching for his friends. He passed a group of sailors and mercenaries talking around a fire.
So, what were those things?
A heavyset fellow asked.
I think that was a Noctilius, a sailor replied. No, a short mercenary said with mocking jest. Do you really think so?
It fit all the stories I ever heard, the sailor said, not catching the sarcasm. Some people say that Helleron created those monsters to plague the impenitent that sailed his seas.
Are you calling us impotent? A mercenary asked, and several of the other adventurers burst into laughter.
The sailor's expression indicated that he didn't find their twisting of words humorous.
Amandal continued through the camp and spotted several of his friends around a fire. Fendar had his arm around Silas, and she leaned her head against his shoulder.
So they are together, he thought with approval.
Jacob sat across from them, downing a tankard. Morjadian was there too, recalling the events of the battle from his perspective.
I have never experienced anything that resistant, the Barjanist said. I can usually pin most things with my inverted Barjan, but moving that monster was nigh impossible.
Morjadian cut himself short and looked at Amandal.
That Mindalarnian lady is looking for you. I guess Ildan mentioned you claimed to possess a way home.
Fishing for an answer, Amandal thought, playfully narrowing his eyes at his friend. Then he nodded and took a seat beside Jacob.
I do have a way off this icy rock.
Jacob set his tankard down so forcefully that its contents sloshed. He turned to Amandal with bleary eyes.
What's that?
The necromancer slurred the question. Amandal didn't answer.
Where's Ildan?
With the other squad leaders and the Mindalarnian lady, Morjadian said. They want you there at the meeting.
Probably want to punish you for all the damage you caused, Jacob slurred, then burst into raucous laughter.
The meeting was being held within one of the crystal structures. Despite the lack of natural light, lightstones, or open flames, the building was well lit. The light seemed to be coming from the walls, floors, and ceilings, as if the crystal itself was glowing. Amandal wandered the crystallized building for a time until faint chatter carried down a hallway. He followed the sound to the room where Ildan and Felinio were meeting with Bayim, Calamir, and the rest of the squad leaders. Several of them were lounging on crystallized furniture, while others stood around a large crystal table where Bayim's map was laid out.
How good of you to join us, Calamir said in mock greeting.
I was helping the poor captain.
I see, Calamir nodded. And how go the repairs?
He did not sound convinced. Amandal shrugged, fighting the urge to reply with his own contemptuous remark.
The sailors are working doggedly, but I doubt they'll be able to save her. Even if they stop up the leaks, the ship can't sail with one mast.
Calamir shook his head.
As much as I hate to admit it, I think Adara should consider his ship a lost cause.
Would you leave him and his crew here? Amandal asked.
No,
Felinia replied. We were just discussing ways to persuade him to come along. Amandal raised an eyebrow. Would the sailors be willing to march across this godforsaken wasteland?
It's better that we stay together, Bayim said. We can better ration our provisions, and the sailors can fill in the gaps for those we lost in that battle with the Noctili.
Noctili, Amandal mused. So that's the plural for those creatures. Best I remember that.
Our best hope for survival is to reach the reliquary, Bayim continued, sounding determined. That is still our utmost concern. We can focus on returning home later. Besides, if we leave the good captain and his men behind, there's a chance they won't survive.
Calamir nodded. That sounds like a horrible strategy, Amandal thought. What was Bayim thinking? Would Bayim drive the expedition to the brink of death just to reach that storehouse of Tevis Rawls? I hope not. The commander cleared his throat.
Now, Mr. Aramian, I hear you have an infallible way to return home. I don't really want to hope for a rescue from a vessel that might or might not come.
He glanced to Ildan.
Here we go with that Mr. Nonsense. Amandal strained to keep a straight face.
Tell me, Kalamir continued, what do you have up your sleeve?
It's actually beneath my tunic, Amandal replied, patting his chest. I have a Rugalan crystal bound to my father. It may not be large enough to carry the whole expedition back to Sauroth, but it should be enough to send someone to inform the Order's Council of our predicament and request a ship to rescue those left behind.
Excellent,
Kalamir exclaimed, extending an open hand. Amandal leaned back. Not so fast, he waggled his finger. This is my crystal. If anyone is going to use it, it's going to be me. Kalamir dropped his hand, his expression turning grim.
That's only fair, Vayim interjected. Besides, Master Aranil might not be pleased if we return without his son.
She said the words with a tone of bitterness. Vayim undoubtedly remembered the encounter with Arantil's Quintashals. Amandal imagined his brother strangling the woman if she returned without him. Poor Arantil really isn't that good with women.
Fine, Kalamir said. Once we are finished at Tardalim, you can take some of us back to Sauroth.
And here I was hoping I could leave now. Amandal stayed for the rest of the meeting, but didn't participate. He sat with Ildin, and they both listened quietly. Vayim discussed a possible route to the surface, since the tunnels branching off from the cavern were all dead ends. Her plan required them to climb to the higher floors and look for an opening. After doling out scouting assignments, Kalamir closed the meeting. Amandal lingered in the room with Ildin as the squad leaders left. Vayim eyed him, but he deliberately ignored her and kept his eyes on Felinia. She was one of the last to leave the room.
I'll see you back at camp, he whispered to Ildin. Do you even know where the tent is? The illusionist asked.
Just stand outside, Amandal said, hurrying after Felinia. The most beautiful woman of the expedition strode into the glistening hall, keeping her distance from the others.
Perfect, Amandal cheered inwardly. Just the two of us.
He caught up to Felinia, matching her stride. Amandal opened his mouth to speak, but Felinia spoke first.
You were rather heroic earlier today, she said, eyeing Amandal.
Why, thank you, squadmate, Amandal grinned. You were quite extraordinary yourself, Felinia grunted, rolling her eyes. You know, I couldn't have captured that Noctilius without you.
Modesty? She asked with surprise. From Amandal Aramian?
I can be modest, he said. Among other things. You just need to get to know me better. Felinia's lips twitched with suppressed laughter. What do you say? He asked.
We can spend the evening together. I know you're not seeing anyone.
Ildin told me as much.
Oh, he did? She asked, narrowing her eyes. And did he say why I wasn't seeing anyone?
Amandal's grin broadened to a devious smile.
Because you want a courageous man, and you've admitted that I am.
Heroism does imply bravery. Felinia shrugged.
Too bad your heroism was dim-witted. Otherwise, I might be interested in you.
Amandal's jaw dropped. He had not expected a backhanded compliment. What marvelous sarcasm. Felinia strode ahead of him, entering the cavern and disappearing among the clusters of tents.
This is going to be more difficult than I thought.
Amandal sighed. Not only would he need to be heroic, he had to be smart about it.
Is that woman really worth the trouble?
Yes, she was. A hand clasped Amandal's shoulder and he turned. Ildin stood with his head cocked.
No luck?
Not yet. Amandal turned back to the cavern. but by the end of this expedition, Felinia will be begging to marry me. Ilden chuckled. I'm starving. Why don't we eat? Then you can tell me all about how you're going to woo her from now until we leave Tartalim. The end of part 1.